Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood, doesn't know me, but attacked last night at the Golden Globes. She is a Hillary flunky who lost big. For the 100th time, I never mocked a disabled reporter, would never do that, but simply showed him groveling when he totally changed a 16-year-old story that he had written in order to make me look bad. Just more very dishonest media.
And welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I am Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz, recovering from being a failing pile of garbage last week, to back in the chair and able to completely move my jaw. So, move my jaw.
Well, a little bit of mumble mouth.
Yeah, just a bit. So.
Anyway... So Open Sources and CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Just go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen. And you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast from Podbean on the Guelph Politicast channel, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today, we will catch you up with the federal conservative leadership race and the good news. Kevin O'Leary's exploratory committee has come back, and it says he should get in the race.
No.
Yeah, we'll talk about the latest developments, and then President-elect Donald Trump, to whom that little bit at the top of the show is dedicated. He had a press conference yesterday, and it was, to borrow a phrase, a disaster. New allegations that the Russians have lots of dirt on Trump is casting a big shadow 1 week before Inauguration Day, so we'll talk about all the latest developments. And finally, we may have found Trump's kryptonite, and it's a three-time Oscar-winning star of Florence Foster Jenkins. We'll see if we can find Trump's Achilles heel and what the next few years might look like from the protest vote point of view. But first, Justin Trudeau is somewhere traveling down the eastern section of 401 looking for a way to connect to the average man or woman once again. It's been tough times for the PM lately, which is also why he shuffled his cabinet this week. But the question is, Scotty, can he change the tune?
He's trying really hard, especially being on the Timbit tour, as I call it. What are they called? There's a name for that when they do the shill.
I think Timbit tour.
Is it called the Timbit tour?
Yeah, well, he's going to Tim Hortons, which is not where elites go.
It's the Tim Horton tour. Yeah, I came up with that. No, they go to the Bahamas, but we'll talk about that in a bit. the shuffle. And it's been implied, I think a lot of it is to do with the regime change to the south. Chrystia Freeland in particular into the foreign affairs minister
yep.
position. Stéphane Dion. And I don't understand this part. Maybe we can discuss it a little bit. I guess there's going to be a ton of by-elections coming up now, isn't there? If we've got Stéphane Dion going to, I heard it was EU and Germany ambassador. Is that?
I don't think that is a done deal.
Is that not correct? But John McCallum is definitely going to China.
And that was part of the announcement.
Yeah.
I think there's been discussion about Stéphane Dion going to the EU, but it wasn't part of the official statement from the PMO,
right?
But the McCallum going to China
is a certainty.
That was official. That's a done deal.
Yeah, and it's not as if it was made to sound like, not from the Liberals, obviously, but that Stéphane Dion, it wasn't being punished, but it was sort of like, we got to get rid of this guy because he's not really fitting the bill. He's not really doesn't like to play well with others, but he's got his own style, and it sounds like he's very set in his ways. So, of course, they wanted to freshen up the blood. It sounds like Chrystia Freeland, who is not allowed into Russia, by the way. I don't know if that's going to change, but maybe she doesn't need to go to Russia. And McCallum leaving, and there's at least two or three other open seats, so it looks like there's going to be some by-elections, which, of course, we will cover. Who else? François-Philippe Champagne, which I've always wanted to say, into the international trade portfolio. He was, the parliament? He's the secretary to Morneau, right?
I believe.
Morneau's secretary?
I believe Karina Gould was the secretary, parliamentary secretary for finance.
An up-and-comer. And Karina Gould, yes, who is replacing Maryam Monsef in the Democratic Institutions portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And Monsef has gone to women. Is that right? Did I get that right? I did.
Yes, correct.
Through the scroll. Yeah, so a little. It's almost like a mini shuffle. This isn't a major shuffle. I guess when you're shuffling out the international or foreign affairs, that's pretty significant. It's usually when a finance minister gets shuffled. We consider that a major shuffle. But this is.
Well, that would be major because, I mean, the way the Canadian system is set up, finance minister, you're basically vice president, so.
Yes, sort of, or deputy dog. No, we also have deputy prime minister as well. Yeah, so a little bit of a shuffle, and it sounds like they've got people on the ground as well, parallel to the Timbit tour, talking to Trump's people. Trudeau's top aides met with Trump's people. And I heard Mulroney spoke to Trump's cabinet as well, which I thought was very interesting because he was doing the rounds around the holiday. It's like, oh, look, it's Brian. He's doing the... No, that was my Joe Clark laugh. But anyway, exactly. Brian's doing the rounds, so I guess he's a point man on these things. Obviously, loads of experience and just remaining very positive about the whole thing for the impression I got, what I was able to watch. So, yeah, it's a mini shuffle, but the earth didn't move. Monsef pretty much had to go. I think everybody was in agreement as well.
Yeah.
Considering the way that went down before the break.
I don't think it's a black mark against her. I mean,
no, she's still in cabinet, right?
Yeah.
It's not as if she was booted. Booted from cabinet.
I think if it was that bad, I think it's more a situation where maybe that was, you know, they gave her a bite. I'm trying to think of a way to use the expression "bit off more than she could chew" given the cabinet position. Yeah. But so let's use "bit off more than she can chew." And I think that I don't think. To wait for the Chrystia Freeland situation, I'm sure that's a lot of emphasis would want, oh, this is a response to Trump. It's like, I don't think this is a response so much to Trump the man, so much as it's a response to Trump the let's be friends with Putin ideal. I mean, you know, it's very telling that Freeland blacklisted from Russia, Ukrainian parents, speaks fluent Russian. She, you know, maybe like the idea. An ideal choice to maybe deal with the situation.
And she lived there for a number of years, too.
Right? Yeah, she lived in Moscow.
Heaps more experience than anybody in the cabinet or maybe even among all the liberals has. So
yeah, it seems like a response. Like, if the United States is going to get cozy with Russia, then people who are not so eager to get cozy with Russia, predominantly in Europe, will probably need an advocate on this side of the world. And so if the United States is going to stand down, Canada might have to stand up. And so I think that's what that is a response to. But yeah, the rest of them are kind of like, it's like I called it, all the changes are posted to our website, so you can check it out. But if you look at it, it's just kind of like musical chairs. I think, Dion and McCallum are off to
going into exile.
It almost seems like it.
Get out. It's kind of a patronage appointment too, a little bit. When you're appointing ambassadors from there,
McCallum's been in Parliament since 97, I want to say. I don't think he goes as far back as 93, but I think 97 was when he came in, and Dion's the same.
Yeah, but I can't recall. And I'm sure it has happened in the past, but to give, well, one for sure and one potential ambassadorships out of an MP seat seems odd to me. It's like you're clearing stock a little bit. You know? Not to be unfair, but
it does remind me of what Brad Tross said, that Trudeau was trying to clear out the less photogenic members of his cabinet. You know, he's trying to pretty up his cabinet.
Oh.
So, you know, we're getting rid of the even though this, thankfully the CBC did the number crunching on this. The average age of Trudeau's cabinet is 50, so it's not like they're the Backstreet Boys now.
Above middle age, just like middle age.
Yeah. So it's I can't really give Trost the pass there.
He's trying to get some traction. We're going to talk about that later too.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, it was a light shuffle, and it's one of these things that, you know, you do sometimes to change the page. And Trudeau certainly hasn't been batting 1,000 lately, despite the fact that he does have reasonably decent numbers, ratings from the people. You know, the honeymoon's not completely over, to borrow a tired cliche. So we're seeing that. We're seeing this coffee klatch tour. Which, you know, people pointed out that he canceled Davos on. He was going to go to Davos in Switzerland, this annual economic conference. Huge. He's going to Tim Hortons up and down the 401 instead, and, you know, phoning into radio programs. Wish he'd phone into open
sources. Hint, Justin.
Yeah.
We've already emailed you twice, but anyway.
But no, apparently making song requests in some places. So, you know, there's a concerted effort to shore up the base, as it were, to get back to basics. And can't blame them.
Well, and part of it, too, is that he's all relaxed from his vacation. And I've read your wonderful blog post about it. I think I'm of the same opinion. You can check that out online, folks, on our link from our website and from the Politico as well, I guess. Eh? Is that right?
It's not on Politico. It's not on our website. Politico.
It's fresh. It's
It's an OSG original.
An OSG joint, yeah. So, the vacation, it's going to come up. And it's, I think we're, you know, with the, we're going to talk about this too, the conservative race. I got the impression Andrew Scheer wrote a letter saying, you need to check out Trudeau's vacation. If you're under a rock, you haven't heard, but he spent New Year, at least, with Aga Khan on his private island. But the extension of that, that's one thing, Aga Khan, family friend, and he's very much we won't call it patron, he's a patron of Canada. He's a philanthropic type and gives a lot of money.
He's got a museum down in
Toronto.
Museum,
and has given money to other causes and is generally a well-liked man. However, it's come out today or late yesterday that it wasn't just the family. This is start off family vacation, but it sounds like Seamus O'Regan and his partner, yeah, and Anna Ganey, president of the Liberals, and her husband, mm-hmm, were on the trip as well. So that's not really just a family vacation, right? You're taking the pals along. I know, I guess people do that, but to me, it smells a little bit bad, and I
still don't care.
No, I know you don't care, but it's what, but like, have you seen the inside of a Challenger jet?
Not personally.
Like, to pay it, they pay back the ticket. Trudeau's going to pay back the ticket, and that's all well and good. But he pays economy class. And the inside of a Challenger jet is light years. Yeah, anything you've seen in the movies with you know, people on it, and they're sitting on couches and stuff, and a bed? Austin Powers, maybe? That's a Challenger jet. Okay, maybe that's a bad example. With a rotating bed, baby. It's maybe not quite like that, but, and I, you know, you say you don't care, but I mean, to me, it stinks a little bit. And I can't be, you said you couldn't believe you agreed with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. I mean, I'm sort of aligning with the Conservatives, because on the surface, when you look at this, does that not say to you, is that the classic image of an elite? You know, whose Christmas vacation is like that? I drove to Kingston in a rainstorm, you know? I wasn't flying around in a Challenger jet with my pals to the Aga Khan's private island with the entourage.
He didn't fly to the private island. He was in the frickin' neighborhood.
He swam.
Yeah, they probably took a private boat to the private island. But, you know, it's just, first of all.
But now he's turning around being, you know, shaking hands with the little guy. Tim Hortons is light years away from
this. I don't disagree the disparagement.
Well,
my problem
is, I'm not trying
to
convince you, but I'm just saying that it's like,
but yeah,
there's a problem with it. In the eyes of lots of people.
First of all, there are a lot of Canadians who are NIMBY whiners, and I'm putting that out there, who think that they have to go to the Caribbean or wherever because they can't handle the snow. They've been conned by the travel industrial complex that they have to go to the Caribbean when it's cold outside, because it's cold outside. We gotta go. No, shut up. Stay at home. That's the thing
that
ticks me off.
Wax that shovel and get your butt out.
That's the thing that ticks me off about this, is that the Prime Minister of Canada, a country that once prided itself on the hardiness of living through winter and coming through winter, and not just like surviving it, but thriving in it, is running away to paradise tropical locations every Christmas. Like, I don't know. Like, he's one of these NIMBY little whiners who I see all the time.
I don't think he's coming on
the show now. He's more than welcome. This is just like a simple disagreement on this
show. Sure.
But it's just, it just, that part ticks me off.
Right.
Like, but like hanging out with Aga Khan.
Every time.
You know,
every time.
Taking Seamus along, who's like sits in the back. I mean, come on.
He's his mate. He's his pal. Like that.
I understand. But you know, Seamus just chills out on the back bench. You know, this is the most exciting thing to happen to Seamus in politics since he got into politics.
Well, except for his well publicized drying out. Like, he's not partying in the new year. It's orange juice, right?
Right.
And no, nothing wrong with that, obviously. But it's not, you know.
No.
It's sun and fun, though. It really is.
Well,
yeah. Anyway, yeah. We could argue this into the ground, but I think we'll...
It's just, yeah. I mean, I understand the optics of it, but I think CTV in particular, like Craig Oliver was on CTV today, and he's like, yeah, I don't give a crap either. And the anchor was like, you don't care?
I'm offended.
This is a huge story. This is like Watergate and Chernobyl combined. No, it's not.
I think Paul Wells had the best line, and he said, there's no good political sentence that ends with private island with a yacht, right? So
I think we'll let Paul Wells have the last word on that. Yeah, I would agree with that. We're going to talk about the conservative leadership race next, in case you haven't been following along.
Yay.
I put the picture of the Kevin of the O'Leary for Canada
came
side,
up on my Facebook feed, and I was like, wow. Yeah, but I don't know how to change that.
It's just like, you've never seen anyone who, like, could care less. I mean, it's just like, yeah, go ahead and elect me prime minister, see if I care. And I'm not sure I'm giving him Nixon's voice, but I imagine.
Yeah. It's close,
but
it's
but
the
yeah,
dude.
So,
it's the attitude, right? It's yeah.
So yeah, he's flirting again with getting into the race.
Sorry.
He had an exploratory committee, which of course came back with the verdict that he should get in, and he should appeal to millennials because millennials love Kevin O'Leary.
That's all they talk about. Like Charles, all I hear is how much they love Kevin O'Leary.
And
no, they're watching Stranger Things. They're
Shark
not,
Tank.
Yeah.
A lot of his fellow potential conservative leaders are not too pleased with this. Lisa Raitt actually got a site, stopkevinoleary.com.
Yes, that's a gutsy move.
Andrew Scheer said he should fish or cut bait and get into the race now. And the reason they want him to get into the race now is because next week is the French debate.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Kevin O'Leary don't speak French because they don't speak French in Boston.
And yet he's from Quebec, though. Like, he's origin Montreal, right? So even though he made a point of saying that he was Irish Lebanese, which is fine. That was him trying he was trying to sort of differentiate himself from the Trump comparison, saying that, you know, I have nothing in common with the guy.
He's lots
in common with the guy, like money.
He's entitled to sport his Ancestry.com acumens.
Yes. He's going to change from Scottish to German because he got a DNA test. But no, anyway, on Power and Politics, and somebody else on the panel pointed it out as well, is that with that the quality of the backdrop that was there, Kevin O'Leary with the little maple leaf, it's like, you don't do that unless you're running, right?
Yeah.
You don't get that prepared unless you're in. You could do it El Cheapo, like during the election. Who was it? Chris Alexander had the Canadian flag behind him or whatever. He just kind of pinned it up with a couple of tacks. Like, he's a frat boy of some kind. He is a frat boy. Frat boy's a contest. But Kevin O'Leary had a great line. This is a good line, regardless of your politics. I thought so anyway. So this is, he's definitely brushing up on the lines, was that Trump versus Trudeau is going to be like Bambi versus Godzilla, and which is a great film, by the way. Check it out. It's like two minutes long. But yeah, I thought that was a really good line. So he's practicing.
It's 2 minutes long, and a minute and 45 seconds of it is credits.
It's epic. But it's great. That's, you know, maybe he's right. I don't know. That's why he wants to get raised. But he also made the point, and there's an ounce of truth to this, too, beyond him not speaking French, which he doesn't want to admit to, is that he's arguing that there's still too many people in the race, right? Which is fine, but there are too many people in the race. There's nobody in the NDP race.
Baker's dozen.
There's a Baker's dozen in the Conservative. We lost who bailed over the holidays? The doctor. Oh my God, his name completely escapes me. They did lose one candidate over the holidays.
I think he was one of those guys that like jumped in before
0.1% of the vote or something. So he's toast. Daniel Lindsay, is that right? Daniel Lindsay.
Mm-hmm, that sounds familiar.
See, that's how important this is. Like, it's sort of like he's going to be a little footnote of a mm-hmm. of the history of this race. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought they had to have the compliance fee in. I thought the 50 grand had to be in by a certain point before you could sort of jump into the race. So maybe I've got that wrong.
I think there are.
I know he's got it in his back pocket, probably in tens.
Well, he's sold an awful lot of crappy software.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Oh, no, it's true. I didn't actually have the software, but ask Mattel Incorporated when they.
Yeah, exactly.
Not good.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's like three different levels. It's like you have to, you start the game, then you get the mushroom to get big, and then you get the fire flower. I don't know how it works.
And then they say you're fired. And
yeah. But, O'Leary, it kind of shows how much he doesn't understand the difference between Canadian politics and American politics. I don't know how Trudeau is going to do it against Trump. I have a feeling that in so much as Trudeau has been underestimated every step of the way, mm-hmm. I think this is another situation where it's going to be underestimated. People are going to see the happy, smiling, sunny ways.
Oh, the charm will go up to 11, and that'll be it. Yeah.
Fat, slob, orange, bags under his eyes, whatever the hell's going on with his hair, Trump. People are going to go, no contest. I'm going with the pretty boy. No contest.
Well, yeah, and I kind of hope Melania doesn't say, oh, how handsome he is, because then he'll just get deported God. Or something, right? So. It's turning into Hollywood Reporter here. And
if Melania leaves Trump Tower in New York City at all, which seems less likely, but
Rapunzel. Yeah.
The other factor is O'Leary's got maybe not as many skeletons as Trump does, but he's got some skeletons, and mm-hmm. amongst them is that the educational software, quote unquote, business he built his empire upon.
Actually made people dumber. No, I don't know. <It's> just,
well, the
not true.
The education part wasn't in quote marks. The business part was in quote marks. You don't call a pyramid scheme a business. I'm kidding. Maybe. Anyway, the
fake news. All fake news.
That's fake news. The thing is, the Canadian press is not like the American press. If he gets in this, and if he even gets within like a hair's breadth, well, fair enough.
We're not.
If he gets within a hair's breadth of actually winning this thing, they're going to attack. They're going to jump. The parliamentary system is not the American system. You are not.
Yep.
In the same way, there's no reverence of the prime minister, despite what people think.
Because anybody
Trudeau's
can be prime minister,
rating. Right? No matter what people think of Trudeau's ratings and his appeal to the general public, we savage our politicians much more than the Americans do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more turnover in Parliament Hill than there is on Capitol Hill, without a doubt. So. I don't think he appreciates the differences. I mean, he's been in America so long, he thinks that Canada is like America. But there are a lot of subtle differences that if he gets into this thing, big, and I still think it's a big if, he's going to notice them pretty fast.
Well, and I think that he's trying to play it like it is an American system, and this has happened in the past. I'm fairly convinced that Harper did that. You sort of behave more presidentially.
Yeah.
I think Kelly Leach is trying to ride that wave. I don't know how successfully among her peers, but especially now with this drain the canal. Drain the soil, drain the canal. You know what, Kelly? They drain the canal every year.
Yeah.
That's part of its existence is this drain so you can skate on it. So
excellent point.
Bad choice of skating or not. I think they drain it, right? So if O'Leary does get in, he probably is going to create some kind of vacuum. Aaron O'Toole came out today saying that he's not going to attack. And what I say to that, you might as well pack your bags, man, because I think it's going to get bloody. It's going to be shots fired on all fronts. There's some people kind of playing it cool and attacking a little bit, like Michael Chong is making points, but it's not attack, like not coming out with a website saying stopkellyleach.ca or stop.
Well, you could play it cool and not and not attack. I don't think Aaron,
making salient points without.
I don't think Aaron O'Toole's chances are great.
No.
But I mean,
you never know,
I will note that he
stays large.
Yeah, I will note that he's come out in favor of like retooling temporary foreign workers and looking at that. You have Lisa Raitt who's come out and said, you know, what happened in the U.S. happened in the U.S. Canada's a different place. Her, Chong, Scheer are all trying to make the point that we're trying to modernize the Conservative Party. We're not trying to appeal to the baser base. let's call it.
The baser base, I like
that,
it. Yeah.
You know, that Leach and O'Leary and Trost. Trost, who, to go back to him, he said the cabinet shuffle is about replacing the more experienced with less photogenic cabinet members. And he said today was nothing more than Justin doing the selfie shuffle. And then he had a link where you can give $25 to his campaign.
Sure.
Except the link was to another site entirely.
It wasn't a porn site, was it?
It was actually another campaign. So
it wasn't hacked, yeah.
So there were some people who got $25 that was supposed to go to Brad Trost. But, I mean, yeah, so you have...
Oops.
And Kelly Leach went on Fox, which, great move if you're running for Republican Party nominee. I don't think you're going to curry a lot of favor in Canada appearing on Fox News Business, Kelly.
12 people said, oh, there she is. And we did. 13 and 14 are right here.
Well, I don't get Fox Business at home, but I did see it online afterwards.
Not worth the bandwidth there, my man. Sorry.
No, it's not. But she seems to think it's going to curry her favor, and just like she's working so hard to try and beat Trump, and it's just like you realize. If Canada was a state, you know, Hillary would have won in a landslide. All our electoral votes. It's, you know, we're not that. All right, I'll say it. We're not that stupid.
I think I mentioned at the time one of Hillary's speeches was almost verbatim liberal policy. I was listening to it and I was like, this could be a Canadian liberal center pushing a little left, sometimes right, depending which way the wind's blowing. It's left these days, I guess, depending if there's ice in the canal. No, I don't know. But that's true. It's a fair enough comparison. Who knows? Maybe she'll end up ambassador to Canada, or is that – that's changed. He's resigned, right? The ambassadors generally resign to not seem political. And then, of course, we have the patron is Avalanche. That's the next topic, though, so I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well,
to
tease for what happens next, yeah, there's going to be a new American – a new ambassador from the U.S. Usually there's some kind of grace period because, you know, when you're an ambassador in a foreign country, it's kind of hard to just, like, pack up your life.
So just decompress.
Especially if you have kids and, like, foreign schools and things. So, they're all out. January 20th, week from tomorrow, out. They have to be out.
Get your stuff.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's
the
Trump
way.
You're
going to China. No,
and, not quite. But that's the Trump way. And we're going to be talking about the Trump ways after the break. You are listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. 250 watts of community power.
Yes, that was Chaka Khan. I'm not sure whether she has a private island or not, but from the album Chaka, that was Life is a Dance, which is true. Many thanks to our caller. Sorry, we're not really equipped to take calls just by our setup, but we appreciate any and all feedback. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'll give our specs at the end of the show.
So if there's one ticket that is not a hot ticket, it is for the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States, which happens exactly 1 week from tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. Anyway, the hot ticket yesterday was the Donald Trump press conference.
Oh.
It was delayed from before Christmas. It was supposed to be about how Donald Trump was going to treat his business empire as president of the United States. The answer is he's going to both run his empire and be president of the United States, pretty much. Long story short, it wasn't so much about his business interests, so much as foreign interests. From the night before, BuzzFeed and CNN independently published they both published an article about this package of what they call opposition research. Basically, they contract out people who know how to dig up dirt about candidates. This individual, who we have since learned, is named Christopher Steele. He is a former MI6 agent. He was contracted by one of Donald Trump's Republican rivals to dig up dirt. He was fairly successful, but by the time he had a report ready, the original client had left the race. Hillary Clinton's campaign, however, was more than happy to pick up the baton, and this guy dug up more dirt. Some of it was very concerning.
Dirty dirt, yes.
Dirty dirt.
Dirty dirt.
You could probably gather what it said just from, certain hashtags on Twitter. But I'm not going to say it because it's the details are unverified. What was verified, though, was that the fact that Mr. Steele had dug up all this dirt and had created a dossier. And not only had he created a dossier, but he also gave it to the FBI. He gave it to his former bosses at MI6. He was very deeply concerned about the things he found out, and the fact that this dossier exists was presented to both current President Barack Obama and President-elect Donald Trump in a two-page memo that was included in the package of materials both were given during the security briefing last week about Russian hacking of the DNC database. I hope that wasn't too... I don't know. That's a lot of information to take in at once. The Guardian had a really great breakdown of mm-hmm. what all this means, by the way. But now,
fake news. No.
Yeah. Well, that was the response was. They were conflated with the port. The difference being, CNN had this six person team of reporters who vetted everything, talked to sources, got everything backtraced, confirming about the two-page memo being included in the materials. Also, part of that 16 was Jake Tapper, who's one of their lead anchors. So the lead anchor is going to stick his name to something that can be characterized as fake news. The difference with BuzzFeed is that BuzzFeed threw the 35-page document online. Mm-hmm. I think the editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed came out and said, it's important, information that the American public should know, probably the international public should know. But again, that stuff is unverified, so it's mm-hmm. perhaps not worth going into that too deeply. But I think the real story out of it was the Trump reaction from the podium yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. But just touching on the documents, but there are any of these sort of just typed reams of paper, you have to wonder something with the spelling mistakes and all that, mm-hmm. unless it's somebody just kind of transcribing the info. But it does always put up a bit of a flag. But it sounds like, considering the agencies that it went through and the channels that it went through, that of course it has to be something that there is an ounce of truth to. Now, the Kremlin has come out saying that they don't do this, which is absolute nonsense. They do it all the time. Yeah. And famously that, and they showed a bit of it yesterday, the rival of Putin's getting taken down with his mistress. Mm-hmm. He was taken down after the fact that this video had surfaced. Mm-hmm. So as to whether Trump was taped in compromising positions.
Honeypot is the
yes,
term.
Exactly. The trap. It's quite likely, because he was very impressed with the beauty that was there running his pageant. He said, the beauty here is great, something like that. But yes, that's what he said.
Gross when you hear it out loud.
I don't know. But it's interesting that the terms that we use quite often on this show, especially on our award show, train wreck and dumpster fire, are the two that described the Trump conference yesterday, because it didn't fail to please at any moment. It was just wonderful for us in that respect. The best description I heard, or comparison I heard made, was from a blogger, Michael Laxer, used to blog with Rabo, was he said that the whole situation with Rob Ford in Toronto is going to look like 100 Huntley Street compared to what Trump is going to come up with. And this has been proven. Oh, my goodness. Just sparks of flying.
Yeah.
And this is press conference one, folks. We're supposed to have four more years of this.
Yeah.
I think his blood pressure alone might overcome him if that's...
It was such stagecraft, too.
Yeah, there's that, too, yeah.
It was spice. His income,
how much of it was ham and how much of it was
cheese. His press secretary came out and, made, you know, mocked BuzzFeed and CNN, fake news, all that. Then Mike Pence came out to, you know, reinforce that. Then Trump came out.
And he introduced ladies and gentlemen, the president-elect. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And then Trump brought this lawyer out to explain how he's turning over his businesses to Uday and Kusei Trump. I mean, Donald Jr. and Derek Trump.
No conflict there. Nope.
And how he's appointing an ethics supervisor at the company to make sure, like, nothing's going to happen. And then he bragged about how he could have made a $2 billion deal on the weekend in Abu Dhabi or wherever. And I didn't realize this, but there's conflict of interest when you're president. No, I'm going to be as unconflicted as possible. A lot of that was paraphrased. Some of it was almost, but it just
fairly accurate. Yeah.
But then the question started, and it was just so painful to watch. And then he wraps it up saying, the last question was about the businesses, and he wraps it up by saying, it's like, oh no, we're going to be keeping it entirely separate, and then in 8 years I'm going to come back, and if Don Jr. and Eric do a good job, I'll say good job, and if they do a bad job, I'll come back and say, you're fired. And then he leaves, and he's like, that's a wrap.
That was verbatim. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ends this presidential press conference in this reality show.
That's right. Buy Trump steaks. I don't know. Have a Trump steak for supper. And it gets better, too, because also he has nominated, or his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is going to become a senior advisor.
Senior advisor.
Now, we've seen this in the past. The law changed somewhere in the late 60s, I think, the anti-nepotism law.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we saw stuff like Bobby Kennedy being John Kennedy's attorney general. That would not happen now. Oh, it might happen under Trump. I don't know. Does Trump even brother-in-law? No.
Well,
yes, but it doesn't matter.
The legal underpinning it was tested when Bill Clinton put Hillary Clinton in charge of health care reform. And because the first lady is a de facto officer of the government.
Yeah.
You know, that would kind of let it slide. So this is kind of like the loose legal morass that they're using to justify this. One thing I'll say about Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, though, is that they are divesting themselves of their business interests, which, you know, you have the servants of the president doing more to take away potential conflict of interest than the actual president himself, which is really weird.
Yeah, I think we really, you know, the countdown is on, but I think we really have to hope that Donald Trump doesn't think that something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a documentary and they're going to save his butt if it all goes south, you know?
You know what's weird? And I thought about
this. It's okay. The agents will save me.
You know, what's weird about this, and I thought about this today, is like Donald Trump, I think he thinks he's like in a Bond movie or something. I think he always
exactly.
thinks this.
Exactly. Yeah,
remember
yeah.
when on the campaign trail, he'd always play the Air Force yeah. One theme.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like the airplane. I don't mean
the
literal
the
airplane has a theme music. I mean yeah. from the Wolfgang Peterson directed that, I think. The Wolfgang Peterson movie starring Harrison Ford, Air Force One, theme by Jerry Goldsmith. He played it at all his frickin' rallies when he came out. So he thinks he's like in a James Bond movie. The thing is, though, he's a James Bond villain.
Mm.
And now we have an MI6 agent who's kind of come out and gotten yeah. this like intelligence about him.
Somebody's
so it's
getting the polonium tea ready somewhere, right?
Seriously. Well, that guy is on the run now.
Oh, yeah.
He told his neighbor to look yeah. after his cats and
it's
out
like
of here.
Jason Bourne.
But
he's in a Bourne movie, not a Bond movie. I don't know.
It could be anything.
That's the truly frightening
yeah.
part, I think, is
yeah.
that there is a bit of a disconnect from reality there. I don't care what anybody says. You can analyze it till you're blue in the face, but there seems to be a piece missing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And mm-hmm. I don't mean that from like a mental health standpoint, but it's just like, it's not connecting somehow that you don't,
yeah.
I know he is going to be the president because I'm the president or like, I'm almost the president, but It's difficult to visualize because you see it in this framing like it is a movie. It has all of the feel of a movie, and let's
yeah.
hope it doesn't end like
I want to address
Independence Day or Planet of the Apes or Planet of the Apes 2 or
it's worth noting in Independence Day the president is the hero. But
the White House gets smoked.
That's right. I wanted to address this to the Senate had this like marathon session last night where they're trying to come up with a framework to repeal the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, and it looks like it is going to happen rather swiftly, despite the fact that there is no plan to replace it. I don't know if you've been tracking this, but there's this sort of phenomenon where we have a lot of Trump supporters who are cheering the end of Obamacare because they have the Affordable Care Act, so they're not worried about losing their health care,
mm-hmm.
Which blows my mind because you have people that they're typing this up on Facebook and they're like saying, well, I have the Affordable Care Act, sir, so I don't need to worry about the repeal of Obamacare. And you have people going, idiot, you have Obamacare. They are one and the same. And it's just, no, it isn't. And it's just, you know, there's going to be a lot of
wait till you get sick, then you'll find out.
There's going to be a lot of ticked off people in 6 months who are going to, you know, get a letter from their insurer saying, oh, by the way, you don't have health care anymore because
your toothache,
the subsidies are with the Affordable Care Act are gone. They're going to call up their congressman like, what is this? Why don't I have health care anymore? It's like, well, you voted for us to repeal the Affordable Care Act. No, I thought you were going to repeal Obamacare.
Yeah, when you tack a name to it or a nickname to it like that, I suppose there's room for some confusion. But, yeah, like I said, as soon as you have to make a claim, that's when it comes down. I mean,
yeah.
And even under it, I think a lot of things weren't covered, but
it wasn't.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. So
it wasn't perfect, but I saw a picture of this woman who like wrapped her car as like an advocacy thing for, you know, black lung awareness and black lung for black lung. On the back of her car, she has
a Trump sticker.
Trump sticker.
Of course,
and just like, do you not see? Do you not see? Do you not see? Well, I know what we all saw on Sunday night. To segue to our next topic, Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep gave a very impassioned speech that immediately got under the skin of the president-elect when he tweeted.
Doesn't take long. Even though he didn't watch it, he was
all overrated. She's part of the losing Hillary Clinton team. And it's just like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, when we were talking about topics for this week, and I was kind of fine to sort of let this go, you know, to let this pitch go by, but The Vulture had a very interesting piece where it's like, this is where it kind of gets to Trump. And we're seeing this with the inauguration stuff. The A-list celebrity class wants nothing to do with him. And that ticks him off more than anything else, because what we've seen is we've seen him attack Saturday Night Live for,
which he's been on like at least twice, so that I know of.
Well, he's hosted it.
Yeah.
I think he's hosted at least twice. He's probably appeared more than
cameos,
that.
Cameos, for sure. He is Mr. Cameo.
But he attacks Saturday Night Live for not getting equal time, because that's how Saturday Night Live works, is everybody gets equal time.
Like a political broadcast.
He posted about the Celebrity Apprentice, which is now being hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, how its ratings were not as good as when Ratings Machine DJT hosted, and that's how he referred to himself.
DJT.
Ratings Machine DJT. So... And then we have the Meryl for the trifecta, which is just like he is so hooked on the celebrity factor of these things that this seems to hurt him more than like the idea that he's unqualified to be president or that it's a conflict of interest for him to be. You know, this is kind of where we can kind of get under his skin, is just this complete like. He sent out a tweet that said the dress shops were sold out in Washington, and People Magazine actually talked to some dress shops, and they're like, no, we have more stock than ever. We have like almost zero interest in people getting dresses for this thing. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the interesting angles going forward, is that, you know, he clearly wants to be part of this celebrity class.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want any part of him.
Yeah, he'll always, I don't know about always be on the fringe. He's dipped into it. He's actually an award-winning actor. He won a Golden Raspberry.
Did he?
Worst supporting actor for a film called Ghosts Can't Do It.
Ringing
a bell? Starring Bo Derek and Anthony Quinn. And I watched a two-minute bit, and it is possibly the worst two-minute bit of anything I've ever seen. And I'm not exaggerating. I don't even know if this is a one star. It might be a zero star. You wonder how these things get made. Obviously, what was
We Hate Movies did a rake out of it recently.
John Derek directing, so yeah. I think we know how Bo got the role, but so he is an award-winning actor, but what was interesting was Streep's approach in terms of questioning his acting style. I think that would go for the jugular more than saying, I don't like your wall policy or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not as if it's the first time we've seen this kind of thing. I thought back to, not that I was somewhat alive, when Marlon Brando sent Sachin Littlefeather to get his Oscar. That was huge.
That was that Godfather might have been, in 73.
Yes, and that might have been the first time where somebody went off message or, and actually created the political message in the middle of this thing. There was a streaker once, too, wasn't there? I don't know.
Yes.
Tom Hiddleston tried to make a political message that sort of flopped a little bit. He got a little bit carried away with his anecdote. We won't talk about that too much, but it was like that was somebody trying to make a political statement. He should have just said, Doctors Without Borders are awesome, which they are. He apologized for his little speech, but of course everyone was talking about Hillary or that overrated – or Hillary. Everyone was talking about Meryl, that overrated
well,
Hillary.
Well, Meryl will play Hillary in the Hillary. Movie.
Absolutely. And again, this is the kind of thing that they're able to point to when they don't like the message and say this is – they're playing the elite card, right? What's the first thing that came out anti-Meryl Streep was that she was giving Roman Polanski – part of the standing ovation when he got the Oscar for, was it for The Pianist?
Yeah.
The Pianist?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, here you go. Here's the elite. She doesn't like Trump, but she's going to applaud the child rapist, right? So that was something that came out. And I saw a little bit of this too in what Jane Fonda was saying the other day. She's hanging out with the indigenous, one of the indigenous communities is fighting the pipeline.
Yeah.
And she made some comment about Trudeau being a pretty boy.
Yeah.
And I don't think Trudeau is going to, you know, get flip out and head for Twitter on that. But, you know, do we care what Hanoi Jane says about our prime minister? Probably not, right?
No. So. Well, no.
That was some old conservative speak there, by the way, people. Hanoi Jane coming up to our country, taking a jab at our very pretty prime minister.
Yeah, and even Rachel Notley was, I think Rachel Notley made a statement about Jane Fonda's tour, how she's not getting the whole picture. Rachel Notley, not exactly Trump conservative in the Trump mold. Yeah, the thing with the Meryl Streep thing is, like, yeah, Meryl Streep was a pretty huge Hillary supporter. She definitely made a speech at the Democratic convention too. But to come out and say like Meryl Streep is overrated, I don't think anyone overrates Meryl Streep.
2 years ago, she was his favorite actress.
Yes,
right?
That too.
He's some kind of like, oh, and she's the first one that comes to mind.
Yes, and it's just, but you know, it's kind of like. Like when your grandma tries to give you a life lesson, you know, it's like, not, no offense to Meryl Streep, but you know, that's kind of, that's kind of tone
it was.
I felt
like I was being told something.
It was a very non-political tone about a political thing.
Yeah.
But that's why it got to him, because it came out of Meryl Streep, who he praised. He praised her.
Not for long.
He gave her the Trump seal and she spat on it. But
all that's left is Chachi now. There's nobody left. Chachi. Chachi's it.
Hey, Fabio.
Ted
There's
Nugent.
Fabio, too.
Oh, Fabio's? Oh,
Fabio was at his New Year's party.
Interesting.
But yeah,
was
I mean.
Was his shirt open or was it?
I don't even want to know.
Oh, my goodness.
I think his romance novel cover days are over. But if it, that's, this is kind of, I think, an interesting direction. But, you know, having said that, you still have a lot of people who are like, well, yeah, the whole elite angle and the Hollywood liberal angle. And it's like, yeah, they're movie stars. I get it. But you don't understand. Donald Trump wants to desperately be one of them. He desperately wants to be in that class. He wants to be wearing the tuxedo at the cool kids' parties. And this is his thing. That's why he does the Saturday Night Live thing. That's why he's in, like, Ghost Can't Do It. Probably the best movie about an old dead husband trying to get his wife to have sex with a younger man ever made.
Oh, you actually know the plot line. I had no idea what was going on. I was like, what is happening here?
So, yeah, I mean, this is why, you know, name another New York real estate developer.
Bloomberg?
I don't think Bloomberg has developed real estate.
But
that's not his business.
Came in my head. No.
Right? He's a rich New Yorker for sure. But I don't think
somebody
he's
in Park Ave. Yeah, I don't know. It would be a stretch. I'd have to Google it.
But this is it. When you're a real estate developer, most real estate developers aren't celebrities.
And true enough.
So he's used his business all along to make himself a celebrity, to sort of like insert himself in the celebrity class, I assume because he has no discernible gifts with music, writing, filmmaking.
And interestingly, and I haven't seen it yet, but I thought of, I sort of know Florence Foster Jenkins' story, and I thought there's like shades of Trump. You know, they could make him happy by bringing him to the award show and getting him to give one out. And then, of course, he would go home and tweet and say, oh, that Meryl Streep's such a bitch or whatever he does, right? Like,
That's interesting.
But it's. But I was thinking about that movie, and I thought, yeah, this Florence Foster Jenkins could be Trump in some respects. It was like everybody wants is bending over to please this guy, and of course that only lasts so long.
There's only one reason why, if you're a rich New York real estate developer, somebody calls you to cameo in The Little Rascals, you do it.
Was he in that? I'll have to watch that. Yeah,
that's there's only one reason to do that, and that's like you're
desperately... I saw the Home Alone one as well. Home Alone 2?
And his line reading was terrible. I didn't believe for a second that he wanted to refer Kevin McAllister to the lobby. I didn't believe it for a second.
And he was on, I watched the Fresh Prince one. See, so there you go, Donald. We're watching your work. I watched the Raspberry one, and I watched the Fresh Prince. I've never seen Fresh Prince of Bel-Air ever.
Really?
No, I didn't. I kind of missed that somehow.
Interesting.
It might have been my smash the TV phase. I didn't actually smash it. It was like, I'm not watching this crap because it's crap.
Fresh Prince followed by Blossom. Come on. Monday nights on
Blossom.
NBC.
I know that Blossom was Myeyam Bialik. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I get a point for that.
Yeah.
Trivia Night Sit Club will be there.
She's now Sheldon's girlfriend.
Yes.
Big Bang. I think we're getting off topic.
And she's worth a ton of money. But that's the thing when you start talking about celebrity and Golden Globes and awards, that it goes away. Because I'm sure we'll have something political to talk about with the Oscars. It's bound to happen that somebody's going to get up and try and they're going to try and top each other now.
Yeah, for sure.
Top
be
the
someone...
streep will be. You're going to be streep. Top the streep. Top the streep?
That should be a hashtag. Hashtag top the streep.
Top the streep.
One of the things I will say that it has to go beyond this, though, and one of the things that struck me at the press conference yesterday when Jim Acosta got shouted down was, and I said this on Twitter as I was watching it, the next person who got the question should have asked, why won't you answer Jim Acosta's question?
You're fake, and you're fake.
That's fine.
That's what it'll be.
That's fine, but he doesn't realize... These are the salad days. It's going to get a hell of a lot worse from here
because
he's not president yet.
Because it's press conference one.
Like, that's my point.
How can it get
worse?
This is
the honeymoon period. This is supposed to be the honeymoon period.
I can't see it getting any better.
But he's the most unpopular person going into the job. And if the
possibly ever so far.
And I said this before on the show. The press needs to stand together on this. Back when he was bad-mouthing the press when he was running for the nomination, the first time he did that, they should have said, all right, if this is how he feels, shut off the cameras, pack up the equipment, get out of there. We're going to go cover John Kasich instead. And if they had done that, you would have seen a different tune real quick because it's all about the cameras.
Yeah. He's going to rip up Michelle Obama's organic garden or something. That'll be I'm ripping this up and putting it on a wall.
This is going to be a Kentucky Fried Chicken garden. Anyway.
Chicken. All right.
So stay tuned for that. We'll have live video of that on our website when it happens.
We're going to do the Claymation Lego version.
Maybe. Stay tuned for more open sources now and in the future. You can stay connected with us on our website at opensourcesguelph.com. You can connect with us on Facebook, Open Sources Newswire, on Twitter at OS_Guelph. And you can listen to past episodes on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. You can connect with me on Twitter at AdamADonaldson@gmail.com. Wait, that's my email address. Well, we said we're going to give it our email addresses anyway. So Twitter at AdamADonaldson, or go to GuelphPolitico.blogspot.ca.
You'll find him. And I'm at Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter. The caller or anybody wants to get in touch with us, please follow those links. You will
absolutely
be able to find us, and we'd love to hear from you, good,
absolutely,
bad, or indifferent.
And I am a columnist on Guelph Today now. I just want to plug myself there. And
featuring Guelph Today's Adam A. Donaldson.
I have a new column called Market Squared. It's going to be every Thursday, so check that out. So remember, on Open Sources Day, I will have a new column on Guelph Today. I just want to share that little piece of info. And you can stay tuned now for DJ Sounds Good to Me here at the top of the hour on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. And we will be back here next Thursday at 5 p.m. with more Open Sources.